heard a few things during the handshaking time. I heard that somebody said the way Melissa played the piano, it looks like their dishwasher's working just fine. Her dishwasher's working just fine. All I can say is what I've heard. Am I on, Brian? I'm barely on. Hello. And then Justice raised his hand earlier to say that he can imagine riding a horse and buggy to church. So I'm not sure what that's all about, but he said, Dad, I've actually thought about that. And so, yeah, the Westerns. It would not be a very long ride for us. So, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter 7 is where we're at. I appreciate you being here tonight. And 30, 45, something around there minutes, we'll be done. And we'll get through it as quickly as possible. God has called Jeremiah to deliver a message to Israel. Israel, at this particular point in time in history, is a divided kingdom. The northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, one in Judah and one in Samaria. 10 tribes in Samaria, 2 tribes in Judah. And the message goes back and forth as God gives it to Jeremiah to give to Israel, who would have been the kingdom in that we would know in Samaria, and then Judah, the one in Jerusalem. So the two messages there. And so it goes kind of back and forth at times as who God is speaking to. But if you haven't picked up on it yet through the book of Jeremiah in the first 6 chapters, God is not pleased with either kingdom. How many of you have picked up on that? All right, good. Now, we've also made reference to the fact that Jeremiah, throughout this entire book, it covers almost a little over 40 years span of time. And as Jeremiah preached and he preached and he preached, we see time and time again God foretelling that judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. There's going to be the cities from the north that are going to come down and that are going to overtake, and they're going to carry them off into captivity if they don't repent. And so we see, just in all of this, we see the long-sufferingness of God and giving them a way out, and yet they refuse. I would like to tell you that by the time we get to chapter 7, that Israel and Judah have heard, they're ready to repent. But we start in verse number 1 with a totally different idea in mind, as Jeremiah is sent to call for a true repentance. And I want you to notice, as we begin in verse number 1 and going into verse number 2, where Jeremiah is giving this message. Pay special attention to it, please. Because in verse number 1, the Bible says, "The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word. Hear the word of the Lord, and say, and hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah that enter in at the gates to worship the Lord." All right, hold on 1 second. Stop right there. If anyone is going to get the message, it ought to be the people that are going to church, right? I mean, if we talk about revival today, right? I mean, we want to see revival. We want revival to happen. We want revival to take place throughout our country. And we all know that if revival's going to happen, it's going to happen down at Hooters, right? Or Heroes Sports Bar. That's where it's going to happen at, right? I mean, or, you know, I think I saw one the other day, the House of Buddha. I mean, that's a bar, by the way. And I think it is anyway. It looks like a bar. Is it a bar, Ben? No, I just don't know. I have no idea. It looks a little seedy and refugee. Ben has no idea, for those of you who that can't see and hear and know. Hopefully you don't even know who Ben is, if anyone's listening, besides those in this room. I shouldn't do these things, but I do. I apologize, Ben. Hope you'll forgive me. I'll use Justin next time. That's where revival is going to take place, right? No, I mean, if we talk revival, we're talking God's house, right? I mean, the people of God's house get a message from God, get revived by God, and start doing something for God, right? I mean, if revival is going to take place, it's going to take place in God's house first. And hopefully, as it did in the first Great Awakening in America, when we find the great revivals going on, it'll affect the bars. It'll affect the things in the world, but it's going to start it in God's house with God's people. And so here, through six chapters, we see God sending Jeremiah with a message to Judah and to Israel and saying, repent, repent. And so now he's saying, all right, I know, here's what we did wrong. We didn't go to God's house. And so here's Jeremiah. God says, go down to my house and say, hear ye the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah, and enter in there at the gates to worship the Lord. Look at verse number 3. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. Now hold on 1 second. We know that through false prophets and false teachers, the people that are coming to the temple of the Lord, they've believed and bought into the falsehoods. They've bought into these things. And he's saying, trust not in the lying words, saying the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. Look at this, verse 5. For if ye will throughly amend your ways and your doings, if ye will throughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if ye oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers, forever and ever. Stop there just for a moment. So these people, Jeremiah's at the gate. He's not even in the temple. I mean, you would think that the prophet of God would be welcome in the church of God. But here's Jeremiah. He's just in the gates, and these people are coming in to worship. If we can throw some of these in here, if you're looking, well, to worship. And he sends this message. Amend your ways and your doings. He said it in verse number 3, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. And then he says again, then in verse 7, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Remember, God's already told them, if you don't repent, you're going to be carried away. If you don't come back to me, if you don't make an amendment to your ways, if you don't change what you're doing, if you don't worship me as your God, if you don't put away your idolatry, you're going to be carried off. And here's God again in these first few verses saying, come back, amend your ways, stop what you're doing. Come on. Then in verse 5 again, if you throughly amend your ways and your doings. He says, a change has to be made. We continue into verse number 8. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to stop here as we read a few times here for emphasis' sake. Again, these people, they're religious. I mean, they're coming to church. They're coming to worship. They're coming in and bringing sacrifices to God. Yet he says, you trust in lying words. Now, I have yet to meet someone that stops and says, I love to be lied to. I've yet to meet someone like that. I mean, even people who are untruthful like it when people are truthful to them. Right? But we don't like to be lied to. And so here's Jeremiah. He's telling them, hey, you've been lied to. You've believed a lie. And you're trusting in this. I mean, that's even going beyond believing a lie. He says you're trusting in lying words that cannot profit. Verse number 9. It says, will ye steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not, and come stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? Really? He says, you trust in lying words. Cannot profit. Will ye steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? Is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. But go ye now into my place, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. And now, because ye have done all these works, saith the Lord, I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not, and I called you, but ye answered not. Therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein ye trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, and I have cast out of all of your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Therefore, now get this. You want to find out of how serious God is here? Let me just put this in some of our vernacular, modern day vernacular. You think God's playing here? Look at this next verse. It's not a lot of verses like this one. Therefore, pray not thou for this people. neither lift up cry, nor prayer for them. Neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. Uh-oh. I think it just got real in Israel. God just said, pray not thou for this people. Neither lift up or cry, nor prayer for them. He says, you can cry out all you want. You can pray all you want for them. He says, don't even bother making intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. Uh-oh. Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem? He says, can you see it? He says, the children gather wood, the fathers kindle fire, the women knead their dough to make cakes to the queen of heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. Do they provoke me to anger, saith the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to confusion of their own faces? Therefore saith the Lord God, behold, mine anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man, upon beast, and upon the trees of the field, upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn, shall not be quenched. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I spake not to your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this day,
commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ears, but walked in the counsels and the imaginations of their own evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Since the day of your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck, and did worse than their fathers. Therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt call also them, but they will not answer thee. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. Cut off thine hair, O Jerusalem. Cast it away. Take up lamentation on high places. For the Lord hath rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name, to pollute it. And they have built high places to Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be called Tophet, nor in the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For they shall bury in Tophet till there be no place. And the carcasses of this people shall be meat for the fowls of heaven, for the beast of the earth, and none shall fray them. Then will I cause to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. I'm taking the time to read every verse here because I want you to see very clearly how serious God is. Tonight, out of this passage here in Jeremiah chapter 7, I want to preach a message entitled, Lest You Forget, This Is Still God's House. Lest you forget, this is still God's house. Let's pray, shall we? Our Father, we come to you humbly tonight. As we read this passage, as we see the seriousness of the charge against Judah, Father, I would dare say that if a revival is going to take place in our land, if anyone is going to hear this message, it ought to be the people sitting in this room. God, I know there are other churches throughout our country, some in the same time zone, that are right in the midst and listening to preaching just like this. Others in time zones to come that are just starting, and some going to begin here in just an hour or two. And Father, as your word is preached throughout our nation, would you stir the hearts of your people? May we be challenged by what we hear. And may we rise to do as you command. God, I'm certain as I read your word, it is not the sacrifices that would be pleasing to you as much as it would be our very obedience to your word. Help us. God, guide us as we read your word, that we may be obedient to it. May we not dismiss it. May we not set it to the side. May we not
attempt to justify our own sin. But Father, may we just simply obey. And God, I know it's so easy to get up and to preach and to listen to preaching, and yet when it comes down to the application of putting it in play, God, it is so difficult. May we recognize the difficulties, but Father, may being obedient to your word become something that's very serious to us. Please help us in this. May these words ring in my heart and in the hearts of these people as we see the serious charge you laid before Judah. And may we recognize this as your house. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. He said, stand in the gates. As these come into worship. The first part of his message, very simple. Amend your ways and your doings. In verse number 3 and again in verse number 5. For if ye truly amend your ways and your doings. In verse number 7. Then will I cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. I want you to see by way of introduction, all of the reading before was introduction, and much of the introduction was much of the sermon, but I want you to see in this very beginning part the invitation to get things right with God. The invitation to get things right in His house. When we go through and we see where God begins to lay this charge against these people, He says, this is my house, which bears my name. He said, first off, he said, amend your ways. That amendment is just like an amendment that we have in our Constitution. I think it's very interesting that the same word that would be used in what we're used to in an amendment is very simple. It's basically just a change what was done before. We all have ways. We all have doings. But the first thing that God says is, amend your ways. Very simply stating, change it. Very simple. Just change. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know how hard it is. Oh, yeah, I do. I know, and I try. I do my very best to be somewhat transparent with you. I do that in a way because I find it very necessary and important for me that you know that I'm a sinner just like you. Amen? That's a good time to say amen. Amen. Thank you. I have a problem. I have a sin problem. Just like you have a sin problem. Just like everybody else has a sin problem. I'm not anything special. So when I'm talking about and I'm preaching through these things first, you need to understand, I've had to do business with God before I could ever bring this message. And an amendment is not always easy, but it is always necessary. He says, trust not the lies. It's the second thing he says in verse number 4. He says, trust not in lying words. Now it's interesting here because while he says trust not in lying words, we find three times the people saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. You see, these people were coming in and they were trying to make all of this so spiritual. And as we looked at this morning, just because somebody says they're spiritual doesn't mean they're spiritual. Amen. Just because we're here on a Sunday night doesn't equate to spirituality. Amen. Just because you come out on Wednesday night and you work in King's Kids, or you teach in a Sunday school class, or you work in the nursery, or you work on a bus route, or you teach in anything else, an adult class, or you read your Bible, and anything like that, that does not equate to our spirituality. Lots of people can do those things. Lots of people can. I would like to think that spiritual people would want to do those things, though. Amen. So I'm not taking away from any of those things, but what I am saying, it is possible to stand up and do those things and to be just as carnal and just as fleshly as the guy sitting down at the bar. Amen. It is possible. Come on. But again, I would like to think that it's the spiritual people doing those things. It says, trust not in the lies. There's a lot of lies out there today. Come on. There's a lot of lies out there today.
An amendment is what we need in our life. An amendment to hold back the judgment that is coming if we don't. Do you realize that these first seven verses is God giving an open invitation? He's saying, Jeremiah, go down to the house of God. He says, well, stand in the gate and proclaim, you need to make a change or judgment is coming. And I wonder how many people as they walked through just said, man, I wish that guy would shut up. There's old Jeremiah again, old crazy Jeremiah. Judgment's coming, judgment's coming. Oh, I appreciate the long-sufferingness of God, but sometimes I just tell you, I don't understand it. And you don't either. By nature, we're very impatient people, aren't we? I mean, we want to just get it done. We all know what Miss Melba's been doing. Why won't God just get her? Picking on her because she probably can't hear me. Can you hear me? I'm preaching about you. Okay, good. She can hear me. Whew. We all know, why won't God just get her? It's been 45 years now. Can I just fill you in on something? That ain't none of our business on how long God's going to be long-suffering towards any of us. And, as a matter of fact, how about this one? In God's long suffering, and He sends out the message, get right, get right, get right. And we say no, and we say no, and we say no. And yet God comes back again and says, get right. And we say no. I hope you can see through this book of Jeremiah the danger of continuing to say no. I'm not going to get right. If God gave them several years, He may only give you several months. Every time God gave this message, time was running out. And we see in this open invitation, God saying, make this amendment, make this change, that you can hold back the judgment that is coming. If you don't, we see the open invitation to get things right in His house. The second thing I want you to see is the open investigation against the sin in His house. In verse number 8, He says, behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. He says, you trust in lies. Here's the lies. Look what He says. Verse 9. Will ye steal? Murder? Commit adultery? Swear falsely? Burn incense unto Baal? And walk after other gods whom ye know not? And come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. This sounds an awful lot to me. Like, you know what they're saying? I know they're not saying this, so don't read into it, but it sounds a whole lot to me like they're saying, we have grace. Because that's what we say today. We have grace to do all things. Oh, we can do it all. Hold on a second. Lest you forget, this is God's house. And He says, you're going to steal, you're going to rob, you're going to commit adultery, you're going to do all these things and then come and stand before me in my house? No, lest you forget, this is still God's house. Hey, I told you this morning's message probably should have been a Sunday night message. This probably should have been another time message too, but we're here. Amen. We're here. He says, you're going to swear falsely? Hold on a second. He said, you're going to burn incense to Baal? Walk after other gods who you don't even know anything about? And you're going to come in my house and say, we're delivered to do all these abominations? He says, I don't think so. He says, and with a question, he says, is this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord.
let me just tell you something. God takes this house serious.
God takes his house very seriously.
And we should as well.
Now I know, I've heard this, I hear this from time to time, but we'll say things like this. Hey, hold on a second.
We're in God's house, don't lie. Don't lie in God's house. You knew that, right, David? Yeah. Hold on a second, we're in God's house. Don't commit adultery in God's house. Now, I've not actually heard that one, but, don't do it. It's God's house. Don't steal in God's house. We go through all those things, right? Don't gamble in God's house. They got boats for that. Right? Hold on a second. Don't
swear falsely
in God's house, right? And then here we are. I mean, we wouldn't do those things.
Not in God's house.
Come on. Let me just remind you that God takes his house very, very seriously. I mean, he said it here two times. He said, my house? Hold on a second. This house? Which is called by my name? You come in here and do that? He said, in case you're wondering what's going to happen, and let me just remind you how much, and now don't misunderstand me here, God takes his house very seriously. He takes his worship of him very seriously. But I want you to notice what he says here when he's talking about his house, that they're turning into an abomination, that he comes in and he says, hey, by the way, if you want to see the first place where I was, go to Shiloh. Come on. He said, where I set my name at first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of the people. And now, because ye have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early, speaking, and ye heard not, and I called unto you, but ye answered not, therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, where ye trust, and unto the place which I give unto you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh, and I will cast you out of my sight, and I will cast you out of your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Therefore pray not for this people, neither lift up crying nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. He says, you're not listening to me, and I'm not going to listen to you.
Think God doesn't take his house serious?
Oh, I think he takes it very serious. I think more so than he takes his house serious, he takes his name serious.
I'm just filling you in here that in this day and age, God was not happy with his people. How many of you picked on that? Say amen.
Okay, half of you picked up on that. Let's start over and we'll get the other half to pick up on that.
Everybody picked up on the fact that God's not happy with his people? Say amen.
All right, I'm meddling, I guess.
He says, don't even pray to me about it. I don't know about you, but that's tough. God's not happy. He says, don't even pray to me about it. He gave an open invitation. Now he's giving this open investigation about the sin in God's house. But here we have an open instruction to follow after God.
Again, he gives the investigation here. He says, look what they're doing in the streets. Verse number 18, the children gather wood, fire. Fathers kindle the fire. The women knead their dough to make cakes to the queen of heaven.
Just in case you've believed the lie that there's a queen in heaven or there's a mother in heaven,
read this verse right here and you can see what God had to think about it. Anyway, to make cakes to the queen of heaven, what a putrid idea. He said to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. Do they provoke me to anger, saith the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? Therefore saith the Lord God, in case you're wondering, he said, behold, mine anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place, upon man, upon beast, upon the trees of the field, upon the fruit of the ground, and it shall burn and shall not be quenched. Again, if you're doubting just for a moment how serious God is, he said, even the animals and the trees are going to pay for this. In my fury and in my wrath. He said in verse number 21, look at this instruction. He said, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. What do you think they were coming to the house of the Lord for? Bring some sacrifices. They were bringing some things. Now, this may be the wrong interpretation. I reserve the right to change my mind on this. But the way I read this at first glance, God just said, put your burnt offerings under your sacrifices and eat them. Again, I reserve the right to change my mind on that. He said, for I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. Hold on a second. God's saying, do you realize what he's saying here in this instruction? He's saying, when I brought your fathers out of the land of Egypt where they toiled and they labored and they had a burden day after day in Egypt, when I brought them up out of the land of Egypt and I showed them and I was going to take them into the land, he said, I didn't talk to them about burnt offerings. He said, I didn't talk to them about making sacrifices. I didn't talk to them about all this stuff that you're wanting to do right now, that you've held to, that you stay in your religious nonsense. He says, but this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. Guess what, folks? It's no longer well with them, because they're no longer obeying God. And one of the reasons we think, we get in this place and we say, oh, it's no longer well with me, I'm going through all of these problems, maybe, just maybe, it's because we're no longer obeying the Word of God. Do you think that's a possibility? Do you think that maybe, just maybe, we could just get in God's Word and say, you know what? Whatever it says, I'm going to do. But I might not like it. I may not enjoy it. Oh, man, I tell you, we've become, you want to know who our God of Baal is today? It's ourselves. It's our own entertainment. Oh yeah, we want to do what we want to do. We want what we want, and nothing else is going to stand in the way, because if I want it, I'm going to get it. But what if God's not for it? Oh yeah, we justify all these things. But God said, this thing I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God. Ye shall be my people, and walk ye in the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. Hey, let me tell you something. If you would be better off, again, I know where I'm talking. I know who I'm talking to, Sunday night crowd. You would be better off obeying God than teaching a Sunday school class. There's nothing wrong with teaching a Sunday school class. But if it comes down to whether I'm going to obey God, I mean, I'm just hard-pressed to come down. Justin, I can't come down and show you a verse that says, hey, thou shalt teach Sunday school this Sunday. I wish I could. That'd be easy to get people to do stuff. Wouldn't you think? I mean, if I could show you a verse that said, thou shalt teach Sunday school, would you teach Sunday school? Of course. But I can't find that. Judy, thou shalt sing in the choir. Can't find that verse. But you know what? We do all of these things, and they're not bad things. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But the sacrifices, the burnt offerings that they're bringing to God, God says, no, thank you. May I just remind you, God does not need our sacrifices.
Plain and simple. But he said, obey. Before he ever talked about sacrifices, before he ever talked about the ways to do things, he said, obey. 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 And we see this open instruction. He's giving it to them again. Obey my voice. Verse 24. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels. Hold on. And the imagination of their own evil heart. And went backward and not forward. May God help us. I feel like we're in a day today that is very similar to Jeremiah's day. Oh, there's people going to church. There's religion all over the place. But we're not walking in the ways that God said. We're just following after our own evil imagination, our own evil heart. We're going backward, not forward. We're not making progress for the cause of Christ. I feel like we're digressing here. We're going backward. It said, since the day your fathers came out forth out of the land of Egypt, unto this day I have sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore, thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt call unto them, but they will not answer thee. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. Cut off thine hair, O Jerusalem. Cast it away. Take up a lamentation on high places. For the Lord hath rejected and forsaken the generation of his wrath. For the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. I want you to see not just this open invitation to get things right. I don't want you to just see this open investigation against the sin in God's house or the open instruction to follow after God. I want you to see an open indictment to show how bad things have gotten. He said, the children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. And they have built in the high places of Tophet, in the valley of the son of Hinnom, burn, look at this, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. Hold on a second. Do you not see this twistedness? He says, remember he's talked about you're believing lies, you're trusting in lies. This is what they're trusting in. They're taking their sons, they're taking their daughters, they're going down to this valley, and they are sacrificing them to false gods in hopes that they'll get something. God made it very clear. He says, all I've said to do is obey my word. Obey my command, and it'll be well for you, for thee. Let me just check this real quick with this audience here. What would be easier? Following God's word or sacrificing your eldest child? Or for that matter, for those of you who have multiple children, pick one. Some of you children are getting real nervous in here. Where's Asher? Oh. I mean, really, what would be easier? What would make more sense? Obeying God or sacrificing one of your children? You talk about believing a lie. Oh, they bought it hook, line, and sinker. And they're taking them down there.
And God made it very clear. Don't, I mean, look at the language here.
He said, they've set abominations by which is in the house which is called by my name to pollute it. Again, halfway through verse 31, their sons and their daughters, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart.
No, God says, he said, I never asked that.
Never even entered my mind. Never even entered my heart to ask you people to sacrifice your own children for me. And yet you do it. Not for me, but for someone else.
But he says it's not going to be called Tophet anymore, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For they bury in Tophet, so there be no place. And the carcass of this people shall be meat for the fowls of the heaven, for the beast of the earth, and none shall fray them away. Then will I cause to cease from the cities of Judah, from the streets of Jerusalem, the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. You know what he's saying? He's like, there's not going to be a voice, because I'm going to destroy it. Hey, lest you forget, this is still God's house. And I close with this, just in case you forget. We're talking about the temple of the Lord. We're in the Old Testament. Right? I mean, it's a temple. I understand. We don't meet in the temple. We meet in the church. I understand things have changed. Times have changed. And we wouldn't bring pornography into God's house. We'd be scared to death. We wouldn't curse like sailors in God's house. We would commit adultery in God's house. We wouldn't steal in God's house. Or would we? Or would we? You say, Pastor, I would never. Or would you? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Oh, hold on. It just got real, didn't it? This building is nothing. Oh, it's nice. It's lovely. But it's not where the presence of God dwells. Oh, yeah. You say, I would never bring those things into God's house. You better rethink that. Oh, yeah. Because every time you swear in God's house. In God's temple. Every time you view that pornography, guess what? You're viewing it in God's temple. And you're bringing it right up in here where God says, hold on a second. In my house, which is called by my name, are we not Christians tonight? Are we not people that are called by the name of God's Son? Are we not dwelling with His Holy Spirit inside of our hearts? And yet we say, and we would dare say right now tonight that, hey, we're here. And we're saying, no, not in God's house, but yet I do it in God's house every day. I'm telling you, if God took it serious back here in Jeremiah's day, He's taking it just as serious today. The Bible still says we serve a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hey, if God took it serious then, He's taking it serious now because His Holy Spirit dwells in our heart and we have the Holy Spirit of God inside of us and we are His temple. What? Know ye not? Oh, I would never do that in church. Would you?
It's about time that we stop and we consider and we stop and we think and we stop and we say, oh, wait, God, oh, there you are. Here you are. Oh, it ought to make us shudder. It ought to make us blush. The things that we've done in church, the things we've done in the temple. Oh, that we would hear, that we would know how serious God takes His house. That we would remember that we are His house. And everywhere we go, and
every way that we go, amend your ways. Amend your doings. This is heavy stuff. When we talk about, hey, we want to be spiritual. Well, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. Is it well unto you? Or are you headed for judgment? I tell you, I'm not a prophet. But I dare say that some of us in the room, oh, we ought to be very, very, very thankful for the long-suffering hand of God. I know I am. I mean, when I think about these things and I read this stuff, oh man, I tell you, all kinds of things pop into my mind. I mean, all kinds of things that I got to say, oh, can't even look up. I want the blessings of God on my life. I want it to be well unto me. We must understand that God takes this house serious. It's a house called by His name. You are that house. I am that house. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The invitation's the same. Amend your ways. Hold back judgment that is coming if you don't. Investigation, it's on. Instruction, it's there. Obey the voice of God. All we have to do is listen. Here's the indictment. They've done it. They did worse than their fathers. They hardened their necks, and they hearkened not their voice to the voice of God. If you need to do business with God tonight, I tell you, you can do it anywhere. But there's something about taking a step out and coming down to an altar that you can say, here's where it's at. I leave it there. I leave it there. Lest you forget, this is still God's house. And I'm not talking about the building and the pews we're sitting in. I'm talking about the body in which you'll go home in. It's still God's house. Father in heaven, your house is holy. And God, your house isn't holy because of anything that anyone in this room has done. But it's holy because of what your Son has done. We are all so grateful for that gift you gave us. God, I want it to be well with me, and I want it to be well with all of these in this room. God, if there's anything in my life, please present it to me. And God, may my heart be softened that I might respond according to your word, that I might obey it. For these hearing this portion of Scripture, the sound of my voice, may their hearts be soft, that they might respond to you. Help us in this. In Jesus' name we pray.